Welcome back, everyone, to Rattler Stadium. 2 weeks in a row here at home. That's got to be good. This is the Casey Dacus pregame show brought to you by Gessner Heating and Air. We're talking to Coach Dacus after the game against Madisonville, the loss to Madisonville. And, Coach, just some of your general thoughts after the game and after looking at the film and sort of what your thought. Usually after you look at the film, things look a little bit brighter than they did after the game. And I guess that's the case in the game with Madisonville.
Yes, sir. I was taught a long time ago that you're never as good as you think you are and you're never as bad as you think you are. You know, it's always somewhere in between. So after watching the film, we were able to see a lot of improvement, believe it or not. I know the scoreboard didn't reflect that, but in the first half especially, I thought we played pretty well. Really on both sides of the ball. You know, on defense, we're still missing Tyreek Houston inside as a defensive tackle, and that's a tough one for us to overcome right now just because he's so experienced and he's so dynamic inside. And so hopefully we'll be getting him back soon. And then Tyron Preston's another guy. He played just a little bit last week. But we really feel like our defense will step up quite a bit once we get those two guys back in the fold. But I thought that overall I was pleased with the first half. I obviously wasn't pleased with the second half. I thought coming out after halftime, Massive got the ball and went down and scored. Then I think we went three and out on offense, and they got it right back again. And when you play a team like Massiveville who runs the ball like they run the ball and they control the clock like they do, they just limit your possessions. And, you know, once you get down a certain amount of points, it makes it really, really difficult to come back. But the kids' effort was good. You know, I didn't see any problems there. And I just think it's an execution thing for us right now, and we just got to keep getting better at that.
You sort of answered my next question, but I'll let you expand on it. When you're without guys like Tyron Preston and Tyreek Houston against a running team that's just going to pound it, and you know this is what these guys thrive for, is putting their helmet on the runner. So when you're without those guys, it makes it especially difficult against a running team.
It really does. You know, behind those guys, we're real inexperienced. And so some of the guys that played quite a bit last week hadn't had a chance to play up until that point as much as we'd like for them to. And when you got guys like, you know, I think in Dave Campbell's Texas football, I think Tyreek was the preseason, you know, defensive MVP of our district, you know, and Tyron was right there with him. And so when you lack that kind of talent and those kind of guys up front, especially against a running team, it makes it really tough. It makes it tough sledding, you know, for us defensively to kind of get some footing, if you will, and be able to kind of to stand up to some of that. But I was proud of the guys that did play. I thought, you know, Jarek Beasley played really, really well. I thought Noah Burkhalter probably had his best game so far. So there were some bright spots there, but I'm really looking forward to getting those other guys back just for depth purposes and, you know, being able to kind of stand up to that kind of stuff.
I want to get a little bit into your process during the week between games and how you look at film and how you use film, especially with the players. You can go play by play and see something that they did good or something that they did not do well, that there was a bust that caused the other team to have a big play or get that third and long. How does that process work as far as how you use film, especially with the individual players and showing them how they can improve?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, guys nowadays are such visual learners. I was a visual learner, so I can appreciate that. But the film has come so far since I was a little kid. I still remember my dad having to drive to the bus station and pick up the reels, you know, and they had to put them on the projector and you know, cut them up and splice them together and all that kind of thing. And, you know, we don't have to do that anymore. Now we're real fortunate. We have a program called Huddle that just about every high school in Texas has where we're able to share film. We can pretty much do it any way we want, by formation, by hash, you know, by quarter. It's endless, the possibilities. And so film's come a long, long way. And so we're able to kind of put together the clips that we really want to, you know, highlight and show. And and like on Saturdays, we'll get together and we'll watch the game as a team, you know, offensively and defensively, and we'll make our corrections. And then during the week, as we're getting ready for our next opponent, you know, we'll split up into position groups and watch certain clips that we want to make sure we show, or things that we want to be ready for, or, you know, just situational stuff. And it's an incredible teaching tool. We're really fortunate to have it. I think just about everybody in Texas has it now. And it just makes things so much easier, but it's a big part of the process.
Yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, it's advanced so far, it's not film anymore. We still call it film, but it's not film anymore. It's video. And so you think that the players can really learn from this? They can actually see, like, okay, this guy beat me because, and there I'm seeing it on video.
Absolutely. And another cool thing, you know, that's pretty neat with the film stuff is you can have an iPhone and you can pretty much log into an account, which all our kids have emails, and so we're able to set up accounts for them, and they can watch film anytime they want to. And, you know, when I was growing up, there were no such thing as cell phones or anything like that. So it's unbelievable the advances that have been made. And just, you know, like I can talk to our quarterback, you know, and say, hey, did you see play 41? And he can go look at it right then, you know. And that's just – that's something we hadn't been able to do, you know, in the past, obviously. And so that's – it's a big-time help, and I think it's a really neat thing.
Going into this game, do you think that the players have the reality and they know that that non-district is exactly that? Yes, it does count on the record that'll show – that'll be reflected at the end of the season, but – it's really it serves as learning opportunities to what counts, and what counts starts tonight with district play. Are they in that mindset?
They are in that mindset. You know, we've really stressed it all week, and you know, it's a new season, and really the season's divided into three parts. You have a preseason, which is all the non-district games, and you have district, which matters and it counts, and then the third season is obviously the playoffs. And so all the stuff you do in non-district, you know, the different, you know, player rotations, the different schematic things that we've done, that's all been in preparation for this week and what's ahead of us. And so, yeah, the players, they have a good attitude about it. You know, one of the things we've really been talking a lot about, too, is, ironically, this week we're going to celebrate the 1988 football team. And that year, I believe we started 1-3, I think it was, and something like that. And then we finished 12-4. You know, and we played all the way to the state finals. And so one of the things we've been talking to the kids about is, you know, and back then they played a tough pre-district schedule, just like we feel like we did this year. And so we really, not saying that we're going to play to the state finals, but I will say that, you know, I think that's, it's going to go a long way in helping us get to the playoffs and have a good district, you know, campaign. And so we're excited about it. The kids are excited about it. You know, we're looking at it as we're 0-0. These games are the ones that matter. All that other stuff was just to get us ready for this point.
The Fur Brahmins are the opponent tonight. Fur was in this district with Navasota just 3 years ago. This is the pregame show brought to you by Gessner Heating and Air. Let's talk about Houston Fur, Coach. I don't know a whole lot about them because I had a hard time finding any newspaper articles about their game so far. I do know that they come in with a good non-district record. They're 3-1. Lost to Lumberton, but then came back last week with a 33-20 win over Hempstead. Talk about this team, what you've seen about them offensively and defensively. Start about what kind of offense they play.
But Fur, you know, Fur is a lot like a lot of the HISD teams. They have a lot of athleticism. They got a lot of guys that can really run. You know, and after watching film on them, because I hadn't had a chance to see them live either, but after watching film on them, they're very similar to a lot of those teams in the past in that, you know, they try to use their athleticism to their advantage. And, you know, they're going to be run heavy. They have a dual threat quarterback in the backfield, and they like to run some different read schemes up front. And then when it comes right down to it, they like to try to play power football. And, you know, after last week playing Massonville, we feel like we're pretty prepared, you know, to kind of get into that mode, if you will, of power football. And so offensively, they present some problems. You know, they have one kid, number two. His name escapes me right now, but he's
Anthony Johnson is his name. Yeah,
that's right, Johnson, and he's a dynamic player. You know, if he gets his hands on the ball, he's a dangerous guy, and so we have to account for him all the time. We got to know where he's at all the time, and our guys have done a good job this week on the scout teams of showing them our defensive guys those looks and kind of helping them to be aware of where he is, and so again, I think as he goes, their offense goes, and so we have to do a good job containing Johnson.
Yeah, Johnson is their running back, and their coach has told me that he's actually going to be wearing number 7 tonight. So, folks that are in the stands, don't be confused. If the coach sticks with that, he'll be number 7. Gabriel Luna is the quarterback that Coach was talking about. What about defensively?
Defensively, they do a couple of different things. They're a 4-2-5 team, but they're also a 3-3 stack team, which means on the back end, they're probably going to play a lot of cover 3 and a lot of man. And then up front, they're just going to change the box looks, you know, from an odd 3-3 stack to an even 4-2. And so, you know, we've spent all week showing our kids both those fronts. If when it gets down to, you know, red zone or when it gets down to short yardage, they'll probably be in a bare front, a 5-man front, and they'll try to make it hard on us. But, they do a good job. They don't do anything real complex on defense. They just try to, I think, make it pretty simple so their kids can just play football, you know, and react and play fast. And we got quite a challenge. It's going to be a challenge.
Their last, if I was looking at it right, on on Max, their last playoff appearance was in 2014. So this is a team that's obviously hungry. And Coach Cornell Gray has been there for quite a while, since 2004, I believe. So their 3-1 start, they think that they've got a team this year, obviously.
They really do, you know, and they do. To their credit, they've done a lot of good things in the films that we've seen. They've got it going the right direction, and Coach Gray's doing a good job with those guys down there. So it's going to be quite a challenge. And, you know, I'm just excited to start a new season, if you will, at 0-0 and have a chance to see if we can't get after these guys.
We didn't talk about last week when we were talking about getting ready for Madisonville. We didn't talk that much about getting ready for the rain. Let's go back to that. Hopefully, if the forecast is right, we might be rain-free for the game tonight. But last week, I mean, it never stopped. It never came down particularly heavy, but it never stopped. So when you're talking about a wet field, that just is such a game changer, if you will, for any football game.
You know, it really is. And last week it affected us a couple of times. We've really preached ball security and taking care of the football. And last week I think we fumbled it a couple of times in key spots when we can't do that, especially against a good team. But you're right. The weather's been it's been a weird year, honestly, so far. It's been a lot more are a lot wetter than it typically is, this time of year. So it's been unique that way. But, you know, the rain shouldn't bother us. We've been practicing in it. Every time it rains, as long as it's not lightning outside, we go outside and we try to get out in the elements as much as we can. And so, but you're right, it's a unique thing, and it's something you have to prepare for. And the stuff I see right now, kind of like you, says that we should be rain free, but down here in South Texas, you just never know. So I know a couple of days at practice this past week, you know, we were going in about 4:30, 4:45, all of a sudden a big old, you know, big thunderheads clouds start showing up, and you start thinking, we're going to get this in. So it's a weird time of year as far as that goes, but we'll be prepared either way it goes.
We like to talk about one of your seniors each pregame, and this is the pregame show, by the way, brought to you by Gessner Heating and Air. Ron Lee, one of your offensive linemen, one of your seniors. Talk about him.
Ronald's a great kid. You know, when we got here in the spring, he's one of the first kids that I was able to meet, and he's just a solid all-around individual. He's, this past couple of weeks when times have been tough for us, he's been one of the guys that's really stepped up and become a lot more vocal. And he's always led by example, but he's starting to lead a lot more vocally. And one of the things we talk to our kids about, you know, is the best teams are not the ones that are led by the football coaches. It's the ones that are led by players and peer accountability. And Ronald, the last couple of weeks, has really taken a major step forward that way. And so, you know, we're happy that we got him on our team. I wish he wasn't a senior. I wish we had him back after this year. But he's a great kid, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he does when he graduates.
It's Navasota versus the Brahmins of Fur tonight here at Rattler Stadium. We'll be back, Bryce Jones and I, get you the starting lineups and get this one kicked off as the Navasota Rattlers start District 12 4A play. I'm Tom Turbeville. Thank you to Coach Casey Dacus. This has been brought to you by Gessner Heating and Air, the pregame show. We'll be back. This is Navasota Football on NavasotaNews.com.